Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
Here with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We are about midway through Jeremiah, maybe a little more. And Jeremiah's been on a 23-year campaign prompted by God to try to bring the children of Israel and Judah back into obedience with no luck. He's got himself thrown in prison a few times, got himself abused. He's very weary. And God has, in the last chapter, God, in his mercy, great enduring mercy, slow to anger, one last chance, write it all down on a scroll. I know they're tired of hearing you, Jeremiah, so we're going to send Baruch the scribe with your scroll, and he's going to say the words. And the nobles kind of heard the words, and they were a little worried, and they took the words to the king, and the king said, where is this scroll? And they said, well, we left it in Baruch's quarters. So he said, go get me the scroll. Now read me the scroll. And about halfway through, he grabs it and throws it in the fire. So disobedience in the nation comes down from the top. Why it's so important in America and all other nations to have a righteous leader, because he sets the tone for the country, you know? You can look at the last administration that just went out, the Biden crime family. America didn't do very well. America was crumbling because the rot was at the top. Got a little bit better administration in there now, trying to restore biblical beliefs, believe it or not, from Donald Trump. I'm quite certain he is the special shepherd that this book talks about that America would have. Oh, America's not in the Bible. My pastor said it wasn't. It's in here. You got to read between the lines. You got to examine every word and every sentence. America's mentioned in here several times, and it says in the last days, God would put a special shepherd in charge of this nation to fulfill one last task, to take care of the nation of Israel during a final battle before God himself steps in. But it also says right after America fulfills that mission, saves Israel in this final battle, that judgment from God will come because of the abominations and the disobedience for decades that have been coming from this country. You pay for your sins in this life. I'm famous for saying that. Oh, well, Jesus died for my sins. He died for your spiritual sins. Yes, you believe in Christ and his sacrifice, you will stand before God. Your spirit man will stand before God, honest and holy one day, because of Christ's sacrifice and nothing else. No works of your hands, nothing but the blood of Christ. But you will pay for your sins in this life, in this flesh. You pay for everything that you do. Your flesh will bear the scars. What did Christ say to the man he healed? He said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. You know, and nations pay for their sins also. And that's what the book says. Judgment will come in 1 hour. This nation will be laid waste. And it spells it out in Daniel how it will happen. It's a nuclear war. Very quick and decisive. And it also says it is a surprise attack. So it does my heart good to know that our last duty, though, for God, as a servant of God, this nation as a servant of God, our last duty to protect the nation of Israel. We're in chapter 38, and they have just burned the scroll, God's last effort to give Israel and Judah just a little bit more mercy, to turn themselves around before he sends Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, his servant. God is in charge of everything. Back when I was in the holiness, I've been holiness and Pentecostal all my life, was taught God's not in charge of everything. Satan's ruling this world right now. No, it's not the way it is. It may look that way, but he even works for God. This book is orchestrated. It has to be done. a certain way so that God can bring salvation to the world, not just the Jews. It has to be done that way. God is in charge of everything, good, bad, and indifferent. So he's going to give the people here one little bit of mercy as they're carried away into Babylon. We're going to start here now with these terrifying names of these Hebrews. Chapter 38, then Sephatiah, the son of Mattan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shemaiah, and Peshur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words of Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, now this is the second scroll. After they burned the first one, God said, write the same thing on the scroll and take it to them again, with the addendums that what's going to happen to you, king, for burning my scroll. Mm-hmm. You're going to be killed in the street, and the dew will settle on your body, and your sons will not sit on the throne. So there are around. See, he's paying for his sins. He snatched that scroll out of Baruch's hand, threw it in the fire. Yet pay for your sins in this life. So God says, write another scroll and add these things. Thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. So God has added in a merciful clause there. Lay down your life and go with them peacefully and you'll live. I promise you. Try to defend this city against my will, because this is my will. I'm sending Nebuchadnezzar here. Try to defend this city and you will die. But just go with them and I'll make a way. Lay down your life and live. Kind of what Christ says. Lay down your life and live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princess said unto the king, we beseech thee. There's our favorite word,
yes,
Jonathan.
Yes.
Our favorite Baptist word. So we pious. Beseech thee, O Lord.
So pious.
Yes, it is. We beseech thee. Let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. So we have just seen for the umpteenth time where the term kill the messenger comes from. It comes from the Bible. Jeremiah is speaking God's words again. Mm-hmm. And once again, kill him. Shut him up. Kill him. You know, God is offering them one last way out. Sure, you're going to be taken to Babylon, but go peacefully, and I'll make sure everything's going to be good. Because God already has a plan. 70 years from now, he knows he's bringing them back. He's already said that. Had they been reading Jeremiah's other writings, which I'm sure were available in some fashion at that time, because this was written over his entire life, it already says they'll be carried away. They'll be brought back 70 years later. But ignorance is bliss. Let's just kill the messenger.
Yeah.
And Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand. For the king is not he that can do anything against you. Oh, it's like anarchy's ruling now. I'm just the king, but I ain't going to stop you. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamalek. That was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. And there's another term that you hear all the time. Everything comes out of this Bible. Did you know the term dumb ass comes out of this Bible? It absolutely does. You read the story of Barak. Oh my gosh. The donkey that spoke. Now when Ebemelech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then, sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebemelech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. So we are surrounded by the king of Babylon in a siege. The bread has all dried up. Poor Jeremiah once again put in the dungeon for speaking God's word. Christian, did you think that serving the Almighty God was going to be a pleasant job all the time? No. It is full of hardship. It's full of misery sometimes. It's full of people hating you sometimes. But you know what? That's your cross to bear. If it was so pleasant, everyone would do it. But not everybody can do it. God didn't call everyone. But if he called you, you need to do it. You need to work for the kingdom. Not just go to church on Sunday. Get your leisure suit out of the mothballs on Sunday. That's not what it's about. It's about worshiping God and doing his service. Because if you end up with the participation trophy, that may be very all possible. But you know what? You're not going to get into heaven like Pastor Bob said. That's the city that comes down onto the new earth. The city of heaven itself, where God reigns up in the top, provides the light for the entire kingdom. That's reserved for the best, the hardest workers. Oh, well, you're not saved by your works. No, you're not. You can believe in Jesus Christ and get your participation trophy and live out in the new earth, in the kingdom. You can... Oh, I got to go down this hole again here. See, you got to read Revelation 2 and 3, the seven churches. Those are also seven types of people. The guys that get the participation trophies are mentioned there. And they have to drink daily from the water of life that flows from the throne of God to keep their eternal life. Oh, well, that's contrary to everything I've ever heard. No, it's contrary that you haven't heard it because it's in this Bible. Mm-hmm. That's just Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal doctrine that's been taught to you all these years. God said, you know what? I punish pastors and preachers who preach false doctrines. I hold them as murderers and thieves. And I also hold their parishioners guilty of listening to it and not proving it because I have provided them with my word. You are as astute as your pastor. You have the word right here in front of you. You sit under a pastor that only feeds you milk. You need to move on. You get the book out. You need to be eating meat shortly after you have believed in Jesus Christ. Milk is what babes drink. Don't sit in a church all your life sucking on the tit of getting milk. Christ wants you to start eating meat. Start devouring his book. Go past your pastor in his knowledge. Most pastors don't read the book. They don't devour it. They look at one verse and they read it. They cherry pick things they want. A social idea they want to advance, they'll cherry pick a verse or two out of the book. Preach the book verse by verse by verse. There's not a verse in this book you can't preach about. Just read it out loud and preach about it.
Yeah, stay away from the generic structured outlines.
Yes.
That a lot of, and it's how you're saying, because a lot of people don't know that the Baptists and the Methodists actually do have an outline that they go through annually.
Oh, yeah.
They work through a program
every year. This is what we want you to preach.
Right? And, yeah. And at that point, everything's cookie cutter and there's no growth.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, there's no more bread in the city, and they put poor Jeremiah in prison again. And the king commanded Abimelech, the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. King getting a little afraid, maybe. bad things. Jeremiah said bad things are happening.
Sky's looking a little weird.
City surrounded. We're out of food. And, you know, we've thrown God's holy man in prison. Maybe we should at least get him out of there and try to find him some food. So Abimelech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took hence old cast clots and old rotten rags and let them down with cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. So the folks that put him down in there with ropes took the ropes. They said, you ain't coming out of here. So they tied together everything they could find, rags and bed sheets and towels, and they let him down. And Abimelech, the Ethiopian, said unto Jeremiah, But now these old cast clots and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. And they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah and the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing. Hide nothing from me. And Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? So he takes Jeremiah into God's temple. He says, all right, tell me the truth. And Jeremiah, knowing from the last 23 years what he's been through, all right, if I tell you the truth, you're probably going to kill me, right? But, you know, I'm tired. I really don't care anymore.
Just got out the joint.
Yeah. I'm still covered in miry mud from the dungeon. And if I give you counsel on how to fix this problem, you're not even going to listen. You haven't listened to me for 23 years. Why now? So Zedekiah the king swears secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live, and thine house. There we go. Another bit of mercy offered by God. Just simply surrender to my servant Nebuchadnezzar, because I, the Lord Almighty, am the one doing this. How can you fight against me, King Saul? Read Saul's story. He actually waged war on God. How do you fight against the living God? He said, just simply go with them. You guys have been bad for a long time. You need some punishment. This is the punishment that I'm going to put on you, God says. It can be really bad, or it can just be a little bit bad. Mm-hmm. Just go with him, and I'll let you and your house live. Sure, you'll be living in Babylon, but it's not such a bad place. And I have already written down that I'll bring you all back one day, once you have understood your punishment and why you were taken away. So, one more little bit of mercy. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they mock me. Pride. Wow. He's being told how to survive, and his pride is getting in the way, Christian. If you have any pride in you at all, you need to deliver it to Christ. There's no room for pride in the Christian walk.
Mm-hmm.
You must be humble. You must accept what's said about you, what's said to you. Bull up. This king here was just told how to save his entire house and keep the city from being burned. And his pride, oh, it's just too much for me. I don't know if I can do it.
I'm a king.
Yes, my beautiful robes here. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord hath showed me. Behold, all the women that are left in the king Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes. These women shall say, thy friends have set thee on and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they are turned away back. So they shall bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shalt be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon. And thou shalt cause the city to be burned with fire. He's kind of reasoning with him there about his women folk. You know, men love to protect their women folk and their children. Then said Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. Don't tell anyone what we talked about here.
Yeah, we keep this between me and you.
Yes, this conversation never happened. But if the princes hear that I have talked with thee, and they come unto thee, and say unto thee, declare unto us now what thou hast said unto the king, hide it not from us, and we will not put thee to death. also what the king said unto thee. Then thou shalt say unto them, I presented my supplication before the king, that he would not cause me to return to Jonadab's house to die there. He's telling him to lie to them. Even if the princes, the throne is on the verge of anarchy. There's obviously coups being talked about because the city is in bad shape. The king is worried about the nobles. Yeah. Don't let them know anything about this. Lie to them if they come and ask you if you talk to me.
What's terrible is that Jeremiah's got to worry about the king putting him to death if, you know, he says the wrong thing to him, and now he's got to worry about these people.
Oh, the nobles. Saying, yeah, they're the ones that put him in the mire a little earlier.
Right.
Yeah. And Jeremiah's forgetting, because he's weary, God will protect him.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that a lot with the prophets. One day they're strong, the next day they're running for their lives. And how can, and it's so hard. I know from my own Christian walk, one day I'm 10 foot tall, bulletproof with God's armor on, and the next day I'm wondering what happened to yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with these fellows.
That's well put.
Yeah.
That is what it feels like.
Yeah. Then came all the princes unto Jeremiah and asked him, and he told them according to all these words that the king had commanded. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. So Jeremiah lied to him. Oh my gosh, he's going straight to hell, isn't he, Jonathan?
Oh, yes.
Well, deception, and we see that a lot. Deception in the spiritual war is the greatest truth. We've even seen a place where God sent an angel to tell a deceptive lie to 100 prophets in Israel for God's will and God's purpose. God is in charge of everything. This entire story, the past, present, and future written in this book of the human condition, is choreographed by God. Oh, free will? Yes, you have it. But he already knows the outcome of your free will. Well, that doesn't seem like very free will. I might change my mind tomorrow. Well, he already knows you did change your mind tomorrow. It's a vicious circle that I have found the end of. God knows the future. So your free will, yes, it was your free will, is already known to him. So he plans his choreographed, beautiful drama around it.
Yeah, you've already made the choices. God's just waiting on you to catch up.
That's right. That's a good way to make it. That's a good way to put it. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken. And he was there when Jerusalem was taken. So, sounds like the Babylonians had to come in and take it. The king didn't surrender like God told him to do.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.